greatest couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. This week, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, including a bunch of new movies. We've got I, Frankenstein, or Frankenstein. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. We should do a little more research into that. There's also Give Me Shelter, or Gimme Shelter. Everything's mispronounced this week. And Gloria, which is pronounced properly, but it's in Spanish, and it's a Chilean film. We also have a bunch of news to talk about, including Batman Not Beginning, and Paramount is a printless company now. Tarantino is having a crazy, hate-filled, eight-ball, nutty week, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to have Trailer Park. We're also going to have a guest reviewer come on. We're also going to have the world-famous DVD Roundup in the later section. Actually, a bunch of DVDs to mention and recommend this week. First, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com, facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies, and you can reach me on Twitter to personally get in touch with me at twitter.com/kevincarr. First, let's move on into the news section.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
We have a bit of an update on a story I talked about last week, and this is the one with Lena Dunham posing for Vogue, and how Jezebel, the online publication, offered a $10,000 reward to anybody sending in the untouched photos, because they said they just assumed that they were being photoshopped. And the reason it was a big deal, and I kind of agree with them, the reason this was a big deal is because Lena Dunham is all about showing the natural body the way it is. That's kind of how she does her show. And putting her photoshopped all over the cover of Vogue sort of seems hypocritical. I agree with them. I think that makes a good point. And turns out that Vogue themselves published the photos online. I don't know whether they collected a $10,000 reward from Jezebel, although I think they should have. They really should have. I mean, they are the ones who published them, I guess, in a show of good faith. And the reality was they were manipulated. They were photoshopped. You know, there were a little bit of edges taken out, and there were some lighting differences. Now, a lot of people are complaining and saying, well, yeah, that's what they do. That's what everybody photoshops. Well, that's true. And I mean, everything needs to be retouched to a certain degree. But I think it shows this is how Vogue does business, and Lena Dunham is not above it. So there you go. And if that ticks off some people in my audience, if that ticks off people who consider themselves feminists and Lena Dunham supporters, I don't care. Because if I end up on Vogue, I will be there in all my fat glory. I pledge this. If I end up on the cover of Vogue magazine, not only will I insist on being topless, but I will insist on untouched photos, all the hair and bulbous parts of me in there for the world to see. Stretch marks. Yes, I have stretch marks. I have kids. I can get stretch marks too. So anyways, enough on that story. Let's move on to the next story. And this is kind of a big deal. This one really kind of set the internet on fire. Apparently, the Superman vs. Batman movie has been delayed from July 17th, 2015 to May 6th, 2016. Now, people kind of lost their minds over this, but you know, anything about this story when they cast Batman with Ben Affleck, people lost their mind over this. Some people are saying it's because Ben Affleck got injured and he can't immediately start filming. I don't know. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. There's a lot that you can work around and film around without having the action sequences, and chances are Affleck's probably not going to do a whole lot of the action sequences himself. There's going to be a lot of stunts and digital work. The point being, I think this is a good thing. And this is a good thing because they're not going to be rushing it. They probably are fixing, they're working on the script. They're taking their time to work on the script to get it done right. They're probably listening to some buzz, hearing what people say. The other thing it won't be doing is it won't be going up against Avengers 2 in the summer of 2015, along with everything else. It won't be sandwiched between the Avengers and Star Wars. It will be in 2016, which is thickening up a bit in terms of big summer movies, but it's at least going to be a kind of out of the gate its own film. Also, it's going to be the first film release of the summer. It's going to be the first May release, which tends to be a great time to release a movie. And it tends to be a time where, if you notice, the darker movies, sort of like the Batman Begins, the Dark Knight movies, all got released later in the summer. The stuff that gets dropped earlier tends to be a little more fun. And I think that's a good thing because they need to have a little bit of fun and in a jovial attitude for this new Batman versus Superman movie, or it's going to be just a dour, dour time. The next piece of news is that we were at an end of an era with film. Paramount Pictures has stopped sending out film prints. Now, to your average person who is just running to the theater to see any movie, that really doesn't mean a whole lot. But it does mean a lot to movies, because ever since the beginning of cinema, if you wanted to exhibit a movie, you had to run a print through a projector. That's how it worked. Now, they've all moved to digital. And while most theaters have a digital component, and some theaters are completely digital, there's still something like 10 or 20% of theaters that still will do 35 millimeter prints. But the point is, it costs like a fraction of the cost to send a digital hard drive to show in the theater. Whereas a print costs, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to ship. And then you have to build it. Whereas, the digital prints come on a hard drive. They plug them in, punch in the numbers, and boom, you've got it running perfectly. If you do it right. Now, there's a lot of mistakes that can go on there. Trust me, if you remember my stories from last summer, that did happen. But the point being, film is dead. Film is dead at Paramount. They're still shooting on film. And that's not going to change completely anytime soon. There's a lot of people shooting on digital, but it may originate on film, but Paramount's not distributing anything on actual in film print, which will be interesting, because they're distributing Interstellar, which is directed by Christopher Nolan, who loves film. And when they did the press screenings for The Dark Knight Rises, he insisted that they show it on film. If they're going to show it in IMAX, they had to show it on a film print. And so people had to dig out these old IMAX projectors as opposed to the digital type. And you can't do that now, because Interstellar is being distributed by Paramount, which means they're not going to be like, tough beans. We're just sending out a disc. We're sending out a hard drive. I don't care if you're Christopher Nolan. Suck it up, buddy. That sound tells us that it is time for the trailer park. We got a couple of trailers to highlight this week. The first one is one that, when I first saw the first trailer, I was terrified of it. I said, this thing looks terrible. This trailer has patched a couple things. And here it is. It's Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Mr. Peabody received his doctorate degree, valedictorian. He pioneered new techniques in alternative energy. And in his spare time, he invented the fist bump, planking,
auto-tune,
the backside ollie, and Zumba. But the only thing harder than being the world's most extraordinary doll is being an ordinary dad.
Sherman, Penny, why are you two dressed like ancient Greeks?
I lost her in ancient Egypt.
And I got engaged to King Tut.
Oh, my.
All right, this opens on March 7th, 2014, just in about a month and a half. And I was terrified from the first trailer, because the first trailer looked like it was just some goofy kids movie, and that's not what Peabody and Sherman ever was. If you went back to the original Peabody and Sherman and the Rocky and Bullwinkle show with the fractured fairy tales, there's a very smart attitude towards it. And it wasn't just a goofy kids movie. It was a show that adults liked, and it had a lot of not like blue humor, but it had a lot of humor that adults would get, and maybe it would go over the kid's head. It looks like they're trying to preserve a little bit. This looks like this is aimed a little bit more at people who were turned off by that first trailer. So that hopefully is a good thing, and this doesn't get too just stupid, I guess is the best way to say it. The next trailer I want to highlight is The Quiet Ones, and that opens on April 24th, 2014. It's a horror movie. Thank God it's not found footage.
What is the supernatural? What if you could prove that the supernatural was merely a manifestation of what already exists in the mind? If we can cure one patient, we cure all mankind.
Well, this one is Hammer Films, which, if you recall, Hammer Films from the 60s and the 50s was a British film company. They did Dracula and The Mummy and Frankenstein. They did a whole bunch of horror movies. They brought themselves back. They resurrected the title Hammer Films, and they did movies like The Woman in Black, and they did Let Me In. So they started to dip their toe in horror movies again. Here's another one. It looks like a really good solid ghost story in the tradition of The Conjuring and Insidious. I look forward to this one. I hope it's good. So that's what I've got to say. We need to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about I, Frankenstein. back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. We are going to move into the review segments here. And right now, I've brought a special guest into the magical studio in the sky. I've brought in a guest reviewer to talk about the greatest movie that's opening this weekend, I think. Or maybe not. We'll see what he has to say. I'd like to introduce everybody to Edward Douglas. Say hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I know who you are. I know what you do. Just go ahead and share with the audience kind of where you're from. You write for ComingSoon.net.
Yeah, I've been writing for ComingSoon.net for about 11 years. And I usually based in New York. I've been in New York for about 20 years. But last year I ended up in Columbus, Ohio, and with Mr. Kevin Carr. And I've been seeing Kevin Carr almost every week for the last 9 months. You know, enjoying his company at movies.
Yeah, it's been driving Mr. Douglas for me.
Yeah, he's a great driver, I gotta say.
He sits in the back and he yells racist things at me during the drives everywhere.
Pretty much.
He's trying to get me to not kill him on the roads of Columbus, Ohio. Ed and I have enjoyed checking out some movies in January, the early dredges of the year. Are you a fan of the Frankenstein legend anyway?
I do love Mary Shelley's book, and I do love some of the other incarnations of the original, you know, 1933 movie was amazing. Mm. I am a fan of the Frankenstein legend and some of the things that they've been done with it over the years.
Yeah, until now. Well, let's go ahead and play the trailer for you, and so you can hear this, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And I, Frankenstein, Aaron Eckhart stars as Frankenstein's monster, who's been knocking around for about 200 years, suddenly getting mixed up in a war between gargoyles and demons.
I was given life 200 years ago. I am like none other.
You have strength and speed and stamina, far beyond that of any human. You could use those gifts in a war that you are already a part of.
You cannot save the human race. Nothing can stop their demise.
All right. And I'm a huge fan of the book, too. I read the book when I was in college, and I was fascinated by it. I loved it. So I'm with you on that page. What are your thoughts on I, Frankenstein?
Well, it's funny because it kind of starts out by being very kind of faithful. They actually kind of tell the story of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And then they introduce this war between the demons and the gargoyles, and it just kind of goes completely insane. I gotta say,
like in the first 5 minutes too.
Well the first 5 minutes is like the Frankenstein thing, and then they introduce the Gargoyle Order, and it becomes this thing where it's like, wait, what's the Gargoyle Order? Why is there a Gargoyle Order?
No, I think they literally name check it as, we are the Order of the Gargoyles, and they keep saying it.
Yeah.
And it has Miranda Otto, who's a brilliant actress. Yeah. Delivering these lines, and it's kind of embarrassing at times.
I'd say embarrassing is a pretty good descriptive term for this movie. But the funniest thing is that they introduce the Gargoyle Order, and then they come to and then they go ahead 200 years, and we're clearly in the modern day, and we have these scientists, and we have this hipster bar. But the Gargoyle Order is still there. They're still around. And
they haven't changed their clothes.
They haven't changed their clothes. They're still out there, and then this giant cathedral in the middle of the city. And it's like, doesn't anyone notice that that's going on, that this war is going on? It's pretty obvious. But it was like this, and this movie is so full of really bad CG. Yeah. That there are moments in this movie where there are no humans on screen. There's a bunch of computer geeks sitting at a computer just saying, what can we throw on screen? I was laughing so hard because it was just like, what is going on?
Yeah. We had the fortune of seeing this in an empty theater. We were the only ones there, which was amazing on its own, because we don't get private screenings. This one, and we didn't get one now. It's just nobody else went to go see it. But it allows you to really sort of guffaw and laugh out loud when there are laugh out loud moments, which happened quite a few times. And there's also moments where you know, you can comment on it. We weren't like doing a running commentary, but we had some fun with it.
But the funny thing is that the movie was so funny. I mean, everything was delivered deathly serious, and the more serious they got, the funnier it got, because it was like they were really deathly serious. But I do have to say, Bill Nye kind of almost saves the movie, but then, I don't want to ruin it, but basically Bill Nye starts going completely off the rails.
Well, what's funny is when he starts it out, it's like he was in one of those Edgar Wright, because he's in all the Edgar Wright movies. It's like he's doing it and he's having some fun with it. He knows this is just a cheesy, corny sci-fi horror adventure fantasy, and he's just chewing up the scenery with it. And he was actually, in his first couple scenes, he was very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think he got bored.
There's a certain amazingness to the awful. I wish they would have, because they named him, the Gargoyle Order named the creature, they named him Adam, which of course, you know, first man and whatever. They should have named him like Irving. And then he would literally be I, Frankenstein. The part of this movie that it's like, and you mentioned Kevin Grievous, had he done the Underworld movies, he'd written some of the Underworld movies and produced them. And if you don't know who he is, he's the big, enormous black dude in these movies. And this totally feels like he was trying to do an Underworld version of the Frankenstein legend, because, like you said, it has that first 5 minutes that kind of tells relatively close to what actually happens in the book. And then it's almost like they said, let's write a sequel to Frankenstein and let's just take it completely off the rails. And we're going to have demons and gargoyles. Of course we are. Why not? Because it's Frankenstein. Because it worked in Underworld. We have lichens and vampires. So let's apply that to this. And it just doesn't work. It reminds me of last year with The Host. And you can tell that they said, okay, let's take a Twilight, the Twilight rubric and apply it to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And it just didn't work, thank God, because we don't need any more of those movies. This movie totally sucks.
It sucks.
Thank you, Edward Douglas, for being on the show. Now I want to talk about a piece of news that I didn't get to talk about in the earlier segment. This is kind of significant simply because it happened in Columbus, Ohio, which is where I'm from. Apparently what happened was a guy and his wife went to go see Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, at the AMC Easton Theater, which is a theater in town here. And the guy had Google Glass. If you don't know what Google Glass are, they're glasses that have like a screen that acts basically like a camera phone and projects things on your eye, so you can see it and tells me you've got text alerts. You hook it up with your smartphone. And suddenly somebody came into the theater and told him to come with him and took him out and confiscated his Google Glass. The guy apparently has prescription lenses that need to go in there. And so he had spent like $1,500 on the Google Glass and then $600 on the lenses. They confiscated it. They took him in the back room. They flashed badges at him, telling him they were the feds and that he was pirating the movie, even though he says he wasn't. And they apparently interrogated him for a couple hours. This kind of blew up all over the internet because it's reminiscent of that story where Alex Billington had called 911 on a guy in a Toronto film festival screening. This was reported on a website called Gadgeteer, which is really not a news site. It's not like a hard news journalistic site. It's a tech site. It's about gadgets and technology and that sort of thing. I happened to be at Easton just a couple days later, and I was up at customer service asking for, I was dealing with something, and I asked the guy after I took care of what I needed to, and I'm like, can you comment on that Google Glass story? And he's like, I'm not allowed to comment on that. I'd like to, but I can't. And that to me told me a couple things. First of all, it told me that something happened. And second of all, it told me that the story that's circulating out there is not terribly accurate. So eventually the local paper, the Columbus Dispatch, did get in touch with the feds, and it found out that even though he'd identified him as FBI, it wasn't the FBI, it was the Department of Homeland Security, which is in charge of piracy, was called in because there's also rewards in movie theaters for catching somebody who is pirating. This guy was interrogated. Now, how accurate his story was, I don't know. It sounded, if you read the story, it sounds like he kind of goes overboard and embellishes a bit. But the bottom line is, here's my take. You're wearing Google Glass. You're literally wearing a camera strapped to your face, pointing at the screen. Somebody's going to say something, and you're going to be accused of piracy. It's different than having a phone in your pocket. Look, if you're not arrested, you can leave. They can't confiscate your property. This guy didn't know his rights. Anyways, I have to go to a break. When we get back, I'm going to be talking about giving Shelter and Gloria. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are getting ready to move out of the crazy January, sort of what you might consider bad movies. And we're going to move into you could consider these good movies. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I have to say about them. These are more independent, limited releases. One of them is getting a middling release, about 350 theaters. And that first one is Gimme Shelter with the two M's. Gimme Shelter. Don't go searching up on like Fandango for Give Me Shelter. You're not going to find it. Gimme Shelter. Vanessa Hudgens plays a pregnant teenager who escapes her abusive mother and finds solace in a home for girls.
You owe me!
Back off the cab, lady!
Mommy loves you.
You'll be back! You hear me? You hear me?
When I was 8, I was taken away from my mother when she was arrested for drugs. By the time I was 12, I was in my 10th foster home. I need a place to stay for a little bit.
It's clear that you are not ready to assume the responsibility of motherhood.
This one is a button pusher. And it's not my kind of movie. I'm just going to preface it by saying that. And I'm kind of apologizing starting out into the review of this, because it is not the kind of movie that I necessarily would seek out and find. It's odd that it comes out now, because it really feels like it should have come out during award season. It should have given, it should have been given a middling release, at least just to get it for Oscar consideration, because it's so clearly trying to win one. It's not going to, obviously, because it's not nominated. This one has Vanessa Hudgens playing very much against type, where she's a very beautiful girl, and she's played stuff like, you know, in Spring Breakers, the very edgy but sexy girl, and she's played in Sucker Punch and, of course, High School Musical. Now this is her going edgy. This is her getting the award film bait movie. Now, if you watch a trailer, there's a lot of quotes on it. They're all from Pete Hammond from Movie Line. So you know, take that with a grain of salt. The movie feels, it starts off like Precious. I mean, it really feels like Precious when it starts out. It's just, it is just wrapping itself in just the poverty, sleaziness, ickiness of this girl's life. And Rosario Dawson plays her mom. And I mean, she is strung out, yellow teeth and nasty looking. She's in like a crack house den and getting out. I mean, that's where it feels like Precious with a tiny white girl instead of Gabrielle Sabidi. So this movie then takes her to Brendan Fraser, which is who plays her biological dad, who she had no contact with because the mom kind of took her and left. And he's a rich guy. He works on Wall Street. He lives in a really nice house. The problem is, I mean, it just lays it on so thick because she's got such the attitude. And Brendan Fraser's character is so clueless on how to interact with her. And it is based on a true story. So, I mean, I'm not taking issue with the beats in the story with the things that happen. I kind of take issue with the way it's presented, and it's, you know, and then they later find out she's pregnant, and they end up having to take her to a home for girls that are pregnant teens. And again, based on a true story, there's this woman who really opened her home to these girls who were troubled pregnant teenagers and tried to get them to sort of get some responsibility and have their babies and learn to take care of them. And I mean, no flies on the people who do this in real life. I think that's a wonderful thing. However, presented in this film, it is such a button pusher, and it kind of has two different movies. It has that whole beginning where it's just dreary, heavy, morose, dark, gritty, sleazy, slimy. And then you get to the part where she's in the home and she's learning to become a better person, and she's realizing there are people who care about her and don't treat her like her horrible, horrible mom does. And there are people that want to protect her. But it's just so manipulative. I mean, if you love these kind of heartwarming films, more power to you. I mean, you may love this thing. And I saw on the poster, you know, it was a Heartland. I think it was in the Heartland Film Festival, which again, nothing wrong with Heart. I mean, I think the Heartland Film Festival is a wonderful thing. I just don't particularly like their movies. They're just so corny at times. And this one gets very cheesy. So it also could be called, instead of Gimme Shelter, it could be called Gimme Food, because there's probably about 56 scenes in the movie featuring Vanessa Hudgens pounding food down her face. And I guess they're getting the point that she's hungry because she's homeless and she's hungry because she's pregnant. But I swear, if I had to watch her eat anything else, I would have turned it off. It just gets to be so crazy. So yeah, it gets overly corny and it does push the buttons. Vanessa Hudgens does a fine job, but I wouldn't consider this like a career making performance. She's good in it, and she is playing against type. Lays it on a bit thick at times, as does Brendan Fraser in pretty much everything he's ever done since, like, oh gosh, the Quiet American. His last film I remember he was in that he didn't just slather on the cheese on his acting performance. So, Gimme Shelter. I'm going to have to say it kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's move on to Gloria, in which a divorced woman in Chile tries to find love and happiness, but keeps finding disappointment instead.
Gracias.
Yeah, that was in Spanish. Yes, you're right. It's Chilean film. I mean, they're not going to make it for, they're not making it for the English language market. This was Chile's submission to the Academy Awards for Best Foreign Film. It didn't get nominated. And that's okay. I mean, it's still a decent movie. And it works for what it is. I think the reason I liked it wasn't necessarily because of the story, because it is a bit common of a woman, a divorced woman, now newly single, trying to find a life and trying to find love. So we've seen this kind of thing before, and we saw it actually just in 2013 with something like Enough Said, which is a very different film, kind of dealing with the same subject matter, but it's about a woman trying to get her love life back started in the later years, you know, past her, you know, past the bell curve of her youth. And this is done in a very different way. It's much more serious. It's much more graphic. I mean, there is sex scene, which is fine. I mean, a woman who stars in it, I mean, she's in her 50s, or she might even be in her 60s. But she, you know, she's brave enough to take it all off and the guy she's with, and to show it to her. And that's something that you don't normally see in American movies. You usually see, if you're going to see an older woman naked like that, it's either she's like a witch in something like in Macbeth with Roman Polanski's Macbeth, or it's something that is to be played for shock value or laughs. Like, something's got to give. That's the one with Diane Keaton went naked, or About Schmidt, where Kathy Bates is like, apparently you have to be in a movie in America if you're going to be an older woman naked, you got to be in a movie with Jack Nicholson, or it's just not allowed. So if they ever remake this, Jack Nicholson, if they make the English language version, they're going to have to get Jack Nicholson to play the guy who's sort of her sort of boyfriend. But it does show the struggles. It shows how lonely it can be once your sort of life is on the waning side, and you no longer have the family at home to be with. I mean, I'm married. I've been married for, oh gosh, how many years? 20, almost 20 years. I can't imagine how bored I would be if I were then suddenly alone. So, I mean, it's a brave performance, and it's a well-made film, and it actually has a really great ending to it. But it's kind of like Gimme Shelter. It's not quite my cup of tea, but I respect the heck out of this movie, and I think it's worth checking out. I wouldn't necessarily check it out. You know, it's one of those that you know, there's been so many movies recently that have come out that you could say you could check out with your mom. You know, like Philomena. Philomena is a great movie to check out with your mom. You can go see that with your mother and enjoy and laugh through. Even a movie like Delivery Man, which came out last September or October with Vince Vaughn. Once you get past the whole sperm donation process in Delivery Man and all the jokes about that, it's something you can watch with your folks. This one, there might be a little bit too much old people having sex to make you terribly comfortable watching it with your mom. But if you can handle that, it'll definitely connect with an older female audience, of which I'm not, but that's okay. So in the end, I say Gloria kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
And that means we now have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about box office, a couple more news stories I missed, and the world famous DVD roundup. Because we can. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. We are in our final segment. We're wrapping things up. Box office results. The winner, again, I was not accurate. Last week I said that Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit would win the weekend with $32 million. What the heck? Chris Pine, what are you doing? Kenneth Branagh, you guys have failed me as much as Kellan Lutz and Rennie Harlan failed me the weekend before, because not only did Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit not come in first, not only did Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit not make the $32 million I was predicting, it didn't even make $20 million. It made $15 million. $15 million on a Jack Ryan movie. I mean, that's like maybe what Patriot Games made it first weekend, but Patriot Games came out over 20 years ago. And Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit came in at the fourth place. Fourth place. My God. What is this world coming to? What did win the weekend was Ride Along, which is kind of amazing when you look at the numbers. It made $42 million, which is huge. It's also a record for January, breaking Cloverfield's record. And here's the other thing that's worth noting when you get a movie breaking a record like this. This was not a 3D movie. This was not didn't have a 3D bump. I mean, Cloverfield wasn't either. But nowadays, you're getting movies like Hercules, which made, you know, like what, you know, 10 million last week or whatever. That was with 3D ticket prices. Generally, though, unless it's a holdover from the holiday movie season, 3D movies don't do terribly well in January because they're not the big summer movie that everybody wants to see. No one wants to spend the extra money to see something like Hercules in 3D. And I saw that with Piranha. When that came out back, oh gosh, what was that, like 4 or 5 years ago? That movie didn't do very well as a 3D movie because nobody cared about 3D movies. No one, they cared about 3D movies, but they cared about 3D movies when it was Avatar. They didn't care about 3D movies when it's, you know, Piranha. And the Nut Job came in third with $19 million. I would be willing to bet that most of that $19 million came from 2D movie screens because movie theaters are learning that if they show a movie like The Nut Job in 3D and they charge $15 a pop for it, they're not going to get somebody bringing seven kids into it because they got to spend 50% more. They'd rather bring in like the seven kids to a 2D movie and, you know, spend $70 instead of, you know, $100. But The Nut Job came in third with $19 million, and Lone Survivor came in between Ride Along and The Nut Job with $22 million, which is a really good holdover. It's at $73 million leaving the weekend, so that's a bona fide hit. It looks like January, at least, is going to be very, very strong, especially for new movies. And the movies that are carrying over aren't the ones from Christmas and December aren't the huge movies. They've kind of run their course. And the ones that are like the award films, like American Hustle and The Wolf of Wall Street, are doing well, but they're in there at a 7 to 10 million range. Devil's Due did not do well. It came in at 8.3. Dare I say Devil's Dud? I'm so happy to see this happen. I'm so happy to see two found footage movies not do so well. Now, if you run the numbers, they're going to be profitable. But they're going to be profitable because these things are insanely cheap to make. And that should not drive movies. That should not drive how many of these movies you make. Just because it's cheap, just because you make them for $2 million, or $6 million, $7 million, doesn't mean that then suddenly should be how we make movies. And you know, hopefully this is showing a end to found footage as a genre. Then August Osage County was at 8, and then 9, Wolf of Wall Street and Her bumped up to $4 million for the weekend, which isn't bad. Got into the top 10 this week. Gravity and 12 Years a Slave also added a couple million in wider expansions to get a little bit of good juju from Oscar buzz. Quickly, I'll give my box office prediction. I think this week it's going to be $26 million for Ride Along. I think Ride Along is going to win again. I don't think I, Frankenstein's got the chops to make it. Again, it's a 3D movie. I think that's going to suppress the ticket sales because people don't want to spend $15 to see I, Frankenstein, whereas they might spend $7 on a matinee. So, yeah, I think Ride Along, $26 million. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Next, I'm going to do a real quick review here. We talked about August Osage County is now in number 8. This one had a weird release. It was in like just a couple theaters right before the new year, and then it finally expanded. I'm going to give a full review this time. I know I talked a little bit about it last week, but this is my full review. So we're going to play the trailer, do it all up. Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep star in this film about a horribly dysfunctional family coming together during the summer.
You ready for this?
No. No way.
Bill, where are you living now?
Beg your pardon?
You and Barb are separated, right?
Is there a younger woman involved?
Yes.
Well, the odds are against you there, babe.
Mom believes women don't grow more attractive with age.
Oh, I disagree.
And it's not really a matter of opinion, Karen, dear. You've only just started to prove it yourself.
That's pleasant.
This movie is not my cup of tea, like Gimme Shelter or Gloria necessarily. I love certain movies with dysfunctional people in it. I personally love movies like Boogie Nights, where it's just a whole bunch of dysfunctional people. I am not a big fan of just nastiness and nastiness that's just awful people. If they have some sort of humor or lovability to them, that's fine. But there's nothing lovable about these people in this movie. Now, the performances are fantastic. I mean, all around. It's got one of the best casts of 2013. And yeah, Meryl Streep does a good job, and Julia Roberts really holds her own. I mean, you got Benedict Cumberbatch doing a good job, Ewan McGregor. I mean, you got a lot of good actors in this movie. But the characters are such horrible people. And the only reason the good characters are good is because they're not as just downright horrible as the worst characters, being Meryl Streep is one of them. It's either going to make you feel better about yourself as a human being because you're not as bad as they are, or you're just going to be depressed at the world because you know there are people like this in real life. So good performances. I respect the actors for it. This movie is not something I particularly enjoyed. So I'm saying it kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Oh, okay. Real quick, one quick news story. I didn't even mention this earlier. I just have to mention this now. Quentin Tarantino had an absolute fit this week because apparently his script for The Hateful Eight got leaked, which happens with all of his movies. Yet somehow, because it was just in the first draft and he had trusted a couple people to give it to him, and in one of their agents, either thinks it's Bruce Dern's agent or Michael Madsen's agent, took it and then circulated, and now everyone has a copy of it. Quentin Tarantino has now said, I'm not going to do the movie. Quentin Tarantino just kind of needs to grow up. This stuff happens, and I imagine when he was working in that video store, I'm sure he was reading scripts that were not legally obtained. This is how Hollywood works. And you know what? Quentin Tarantino, the only people who care about that script to find it and track it down and read it are the people who are going to see your movie anyways, and the diehard fans. The average moviegoer is not going to go out of their way to read a script. Sorry. They'd rather wait for the movie, which isn't going to happen. So, anyways, Quentin Tarantino needs to grow up. He's needed to grow up for years, and his scripts need editing anyways. Let's move on. That's the time for the world-famous DVD Roundup. All right, let's just jump right in. We only have a couple minutes. The first one on the list, my favorite movie of 2013, Captain Phillips, is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Fantastic movie, beautiful performances. It is the best movie of the year. It's so gripping and amazing, and Tom Hanks commands in a very understated way. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I've talked about this plenty over the last couple months, so let's move on. Bad Milo. This is a smaller release from Magnet, and it stars Ken Marino as a guy who, let's just say his intestinal discomfort and stress manifests itself as a demon that goes around and kills people. It is a whacked out movie. It is bizarre. It's also a lot of funny if you can get past all the bathroom humor. I personally love the bathroom humor and the raunchiness, but just know that that's there. There's also In a World. This is one I'd like to recommend because it's I speak for a living, and so it kind of touched me there. Lake Bell, who's an actress in Hollywood. She wrote and directed this movie, and it's about a voiceover artist and people trying to be the best in the biz and bringing back the In a World for trailers, which has kind of been retired when the guy who coined that passed away. Very good movie, very sweet movie. I want to see more stuff from Lake Bell. I think she's got talent and she can really go somewhere. There's also the RoboCop 4K transfer on Blu-ray. It also has all the special features, which the 20th Century Fox Blu-ray set that came out a couple years ago did not. So now if you want all your special features for RoboCop, you can see it in the pristine 4K transfer. Couple of other ones, Blue Jasmine. That's okay. That's Woody Allen's latest movie about a woman, wealthy woman who has to kind of put her life together after she loses her money. Cate Blanchett's getting all these nominations and wins. She's worth seeing in it. The movie's, it's a Woody Allen movie. Machete Kills, not that good, not a good follow-up to Machete. Cat People is out on Blu-ray. This is the one, not the original, but the one with Natasha Kinski as naked as a jaybird through half the movie. There's also The Starving Games, not very good, but it's not as bad as some of the, at least it keeps on point with a Hunger Games spoof as opposed to like stuff like Epic Movie and Date Movie. And then Instructions Not Included. That was the Spanish language movie that took the world by storm, and nobody expected it to do so well. It is now on a DVD and Blu-ray. Stinker of the Week, Charlie Countryman, before Shia LaBeouf went completely insane and started to plagiarize pretty much everybody. He made this movie. This was his swan song. It's not that good. So next week, we're going to be talking about Labor Day, That Awkward Moment, and Tim's Vermeer. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.